morning.
Good morning.
Great to see all of you this day. A very warm welcome to our guests and visitors. May God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son, Jesus Christ, at his coming, may find in us a mansion prepared for himself, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Micah, a prophet of the 8th century before the Common Era, directed his prophetic words primarily to Jerusalem. He witnessed the devastating invasion of Judah by the Assyrians in 701. Micah, like his contemporary Isaiah, scolded the people for diverging from the faith of their ancestors and predicted God's wrath, but also foresaw their restoration. In today's reading, we hear Micah's words looking toward Bethlehem, the city of King David, as the birthplace of a new king for God's people, embodied in what later tradition would call the Messiah. In this final Sunday of Advent, we look with Micah towards Bethlehem, anticipating the birth of our Messiah, Jesus. A reading from the book of the prophet Micah. You, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one with the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, or from ancient days. Therefore, he should give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read together Canticle 15, the Song of Mary. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to help the servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The letter to the Hebrews, an early Christian text of unknown authorship, appears to be addressed to a Jewish Christian community, possibly living in Jerusalem in the latter half of the first century. In our reading today, we hear that Christ's coming brings an end to the old system of sacrifices. Jesus himself is the final sacrifice for all of creation. And by it, he establishes God's will and presence that we may be fully restored to a holy life, one marked by wholeness, righteousness, grace, and peace. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "See, God, I have come to do your will, O God. In the scroll of the book it is written of me." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law." Then he added, "See, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Thank you. Please be seated. It's fitting today that we should hear this gospel reading about two cousins, John the Baptist and Jesus. We are baptizing cousins today, which is kind of cool in its own way. I don't know if you caught it, but there was a beautiful write-up in this week's New York Times by David Brooks about coming to faith late in life. I saw the hand go up back there. Good. A member of our vestry sent it to me just last night, and I had already caught it in passing online. Brooks, I think, gives a beautiful depiction of what it means to come to an adult faith. And he talks about faith not so much as intellectual assent up here, but actually a yearning for God. And he offers a number of examples of his experience of God in his life, but one of the most compelling for me is him talking about being in a car filled with people in the New York subway in one of the darkest, kind of dingiest stations in the entire city, and suddenly realizing that he is surrounded by souls, by people who are living fully in the divine life, and so vibrant with that life that he was profoundly moved in his own heart. This is from someone who, by the way, was an avowed agnostic for quite a long period of his adult life. And that sense of faith and recognition, I think, touches very closely on the heart of what Luke is getting at in this narrative today about Mary and Elizabeth. You'll notice in the story today, there's no mention of Joseph on Mary's side, or Zechariah on Elizabeth's side. Joseph has not yet quite come into the narrative except by mention, and Zechariah, who is a priest, has been visited by an angel before Mary was, and apparently he didn't say the right thing because the angel rendered him mute. And speaking as a priest, being a dumb priest is probably the worst possible of fates. But Luke seems to want us to understand that the people who are powerful in Mary and Elizabeth's lives have been kind of sidelined, placed at the periphery rather than at the center. And in a patriarchal world, like the world that this was written in, that in itself is significant. Then we have that narrative of Gabriel coming to Mary, and we hear all the words that, for those of you who are familiar with the tradition of the Rosary and Hail Marys, recognize. All the words come from this passage. Sense in which the angel comes and tells Mary that she is to bear the Christ child, and she is puzzled by what this might mean for her and for her family and for her community, which will likely be subject to scandal. But perhaps most importantly, she recognizes that she is on the edge of things. So why has this come to her? But apparently, different from Zechariah, she responds rightly because she finally says, "Here am I. Let it be according to God's word." Now that might remind you of a portion of the Lord's Prayer, "Your will be done," right? Where do you think Jesus learned that? Think about that for a moment. The mystics have been writing about this passage for centuries, because what they see in the pattern of Mary and also Elizabeth is a pattern of accepting God into the deepest places of our lives. This is not just something reified that might or might not have happened in the first century. This is about a pattern of coming into faith, and also it is the pattern of this time of year when we open ourselves to the coming of God in Christ. And the mystics have written that there is a place somewhere in each of us, deep down, almost unreachable, and for us with lots of life experience, almost invisible for so much of our lives, a deep, deep place that still remains whole and pure in God's eyes. And it is there that Christ comes to make a home in us. Mary understood and gave us the pattern to follow in accepting that in our lives. But be warned, there's a lot of risk involved. Mary offers her song right after this gospel passage, the song that we read in place of the psalm today, and that song is about revolution. The whole world is turned upside down. Accepting Christ, God, into our heart of hearts is likely to upend everything we thought we knew. And it should leave us to wonder what will come next, because that's exactly what Mary and Elizabeth do. They get together and they wonder. John the Baptist leaps in Elizabeth's womb. In just a few moments, when we baptize Senna and Selby, we are offering them an opportunity for this life with God. And as they get older, they will have opportunity to do what many of us have done and continue to strive to do, and that is to let God in Christ into our hearts. To hear God knocking at the door of our innermost lives and the life of the world around us, to be let in, to be born again, to bring new life where we thought perhaps maybe we had failed, or perhaps there was only death, to plant new life there, to be born in this manger inside each of us. That journey itself is a gift, and a gift we offer with joy to Senna and Selby this day, and to their families, and to all of us together in this season of new birth.
Thank you for listening to the sermon podcast from the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, Mill Valley, California. We are a growing community welcoming those seeking to deepen their relationship with God and to journey in faith with God's people through the breaking of bread and in service to others in Christ's name. You may reach us by phone at 415-388-1907. Search for us online or at Facebook or visit our website at cosmv.org. We wish you God's peace. We hope to greet you in person very soon.